This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome in. It's G-Bag Nation late night here for you. And welcome in. We've been in studio throughout the afternoon tracking the world of sports. We're about to pack 5 hours of sports content into 35 minutes. We've been living and dying with every pitch. And ultimately, the bullpen stinks still. Couldn't stack together hits. And you lose to the Red Sox 5-2 this afternoon, but a very eventful and entertaining opening day it was, with Jared Sandler playing a big part both on radio and television. And Sands joins us now here on The Fan. No, he doesn't. He's going to join us in a few minutes probably. But guys, just to put a bow on today, Luke Jackson in the ninth. I know it was tied. I've seen enough. And I know that was the plan because they were talking about in the pregame that Luke Jackson was going to be their ninth inning guy. What's going on, Wolchuk? That's not a plan?
I was surprised. I was surprised to see Chris Martin so early. But, hey, he got the job done. He needed to after Garcia had a couple of big hits against him. Tremendous defensive plays, first by Josh Smith. One of the best defensive plays we might see all year already in game one. And then Kevin Pillar. But, yeah, Luke Jackson, one of our buddies from the clubhouse, he just didn't look like he had the location today. I know Boach said he wasn't missing by that much. It didn't look too close from our eyes. I trust Boach's eyes much more than I trust my own when it comes to the bullpen. But I think you're right. High leverage opportunity. Luke Jackson got the opportunity there. I don't know going into tomorrow or later on in the series if that'll be the case.
I think they need about 4 or 5 different relievers, Brian. They need to turn over at least half their bullpen.
Bring back last year's?
Well, no. Get out. I mean, go contend, Ray.
Yeah.
You know, do you want to be a dynasty or do you want to have one World Series and just drift off and watch the Dodgers dominate?
Start making the calls.
You want to see the Astros win this division with 85 wins?
Yeah.
Brian, go ahead.
No. I think that to me that what's going to be interesting is that could this be something that, you know, I know that Boach talked about Jackson, but is ultimately the plan, though, at the first part of the season, kind of try?
Yeah, I think it's
several guys.
I think that's what you're looking at.
I mean, okay, here's game one. Jackson, really, really rough outing. 6, 7, and 8 in the Boston lineup is what got you today. Those guys had 5 hits, you know, and Abreu was huge. But yeah, 6, 7, and 8 did all the damage. I just wonder if this was one of those things that we're going to see with Boach of like, okay, you know, I talked about Jackson. I'm going to send him out there. You send him out there today. You know, maybe by the time we get to, you know, 2-3 weeks in, that they'll have a better idea of exactly who needs to be the closer. I can't believe that. I just felt like listening to the game that, you know, Luke Jackson just did not, everything was 3-2, 3-2, and, you know, and I just don't think, you know, you could have, we're so used to last year with, you know, with Robinson, the guys like their ability to throw strikes and to get guys out. And, you know, I know it's one game, but I have a feeling that Boach is probably going to run through some guys before they get this thing completely buttoned up to where it needs to be.
Yeah, you know, it's early, but I guess
that's just my guess.
I'm just frustrated the bullpen got him again.
Oh, and no, there's no question. Yeah.
We talked about this offseason was who's going to be your closer. You still have a massive question mark there. Honestly, though, five runs, if that's what the opposition's scoring, I'm expecting the Rangers to win. I'm looking at this offense. I need something more from the bats. Yeah. I think we felt really confident in this lineup coming into the season. I thought Mike made a really good point during the roundtable discussion. That second inning, when you get Berger to walk, Josh Young hits an RBI single, Kevin Pillar then singles. Okay, you got three on, no outs. What happens? Kyle Higashioka pops up. Josh Smith tries to lay down a bunt. They end up hitting the catcher. Strikes, and then Simeon grounds out. When you get three on, no outs, you're expecting to come away with some damage in that inning, and the Rangers failed to do so.
Going to need to see a crooked number there in those situations if you're going to have a successful season. I think that's just as equal a story as, you know, the offense was disappointing, opened with a fizzle after a spring training of promise, and an offseason where, you know, CY restocked the cupboard well enough that you would anticipate they're not going to have problems scoring. I would anticipate at least top five offense in American League. Mavs are playing. Kai Jones has 6 of their 8 points to open up this game.
Yeah.
I guess they got 10 now. They lead the Magic 10-8. It's going to be a tough game tonight. But Anthony Davis is playing.
He is.
PJ Washington is out. The Suns looked horrible last night.
Yeah.
Not playing defense on several possessions. They really gave it up. And as a result, Boston rolled them. So you're kind of holding pace. All you have to do is, like, I think win about 40% of your games from here on out should get it done.
These teams want it.
It's like the it's like the South Park episode. It really is, where Little League kids don't want to win.
Oh, they suck worse than us.
The players are competing. The organizations want nothing to do with winning, but I mean, Orlando's very good.
Yeah.
It's just that they're one of those up-and-coming teams that I wouldn't be surprised. I think Banchero is averaging like 28 points per game over the last 20.
They were right about him.
He's been
fantastic. I'm not going to act like I watch a lot of Eastern basketball, but, man, they seem like they were right about him for sure.
He was just okay his rookie year, and then he got hurt, and it was like, yeah, that's a good player. Now it's like, holy crap, this guy might be Carmelo Anthony.
What, he like 17 years old? Then?
Yeah, you're right.
Young,
you're
crazy.
Right.
Yeah. He's like one of the youngest guys in the league, and I'm like going, oh, this guy might be all right.
Yeah, we're getting a good group of American stars. I mean, between him and Cade Cunningham and handful of other guys, you know, we're getting some good talent coming through. But, I mean, where's the MVPs, baby? Where's the Jordan? Where's the Kobe? Where's the next LeBron? I'm not seeing them.
I'm seeing like
the next Clyde Drexlers and Steve Smiths. You know,
man, there's this guy named Luka Doncic. He might be able to take over the league here in the next decade.
He's got promise.
He's a guy that could be your next MJ Magic like player. He could end up wrecking shop here. He's pretty good.
You guys watch Lakers Pacers last night?
Hell no, I can't do it, man.
They almost lost their fourth in a row. They played horrible defense. Check it out. Rui hits back-to-back threes with like 3 minutes to go to put them up 6. Yeah. They go cold. Luka's playing no defense, like just getting grilled for layups.
Good. Keep telling me that.
Okay.
How bad was he? He was awful, right? He looked terrible.
On the last one, Halliburton freaking makes an and one. They go up one.
Yeah.
They both miss, and then Luka misses the runner, but LeBron knocks it in. But no, Luka had like 34 points.
He had to have LeBron do it for him.
He was incredible on offense. It's on easy mode. Like, nobody has it on easier mode than Luka when you're on offense.
Yeah, it's bizarre, and it does look like he's going at a snail's pace, yet it's always just been so darn effective.
Yeah, he doesn't have to be in a hurry, man.
I wonder, does the Los Angeles media, they do nothing about his defense, right? They don't say anything.
No.
They're just damn happy to have him.
Yeah.
Like, Dave McMiniman is so excited that he's gets to cover Luka
night. The fans are going to get on him. Like, if they'd lost that last night's game, they would have been like, holy crap, we built a 6-point lead, and then Luka just stood there while they laid the ball in for 2 minutes.
Can you get your ass back and stop griping? They'll be saying the same stuff we were saying.
Yeah.
But overall, the good certainly outweighs the bad.
See if they pay
massively.
Attention. Yeah.
But yeah, their lack of a rim protector, no way. They're going to have to get busy, you know, trading Connect or Reeves or something. in the offseason to try to get them some bigs.
They'll probably find a way to get Paolo Banchero or something. You know, yeah. The league just
they'll
sets
ask,
it up for
ask
them.
The league.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, hey, can we get that guy out of Orlando again like Shaq that one time?
Yeah.
Colorado coach Deion Sanders says he's not trying to steer Shador to any specific destination in the next month's draft and would be happy wherever his son is selected.
So is this leaking confidence here? Is that this is, we're not that, really sure that, anymore where we're going?
That goes from being like, okay, I thought he was going to go to this team, and I thought, well,
didn't
maybe.
Did he just say, let's hope New York? Did he just say, well,
Shador wants to be a Giant, was the quote that I saw. We're hoping for New York.
I tell you what, I guarantee you the phones in Boulder are burning up around the league trying to kind of figure out where Shador might end up. And, you know, I think there's some people there that are, because if he gets by some certain teams, there might be a little bit of a slide here all the way down to Pittsburgh at 21.
So. Yeah, he says, as long as it's a team where they're seeking a quarterback, I'm happy with it because I know what he's going to do to the organization.
Yeah.
He did list the Giants, the Titans, the Browns, the Raiders, and the Saints.
There you go.
So I guess he's
he's playing all the cards.
So he didn't list the Jets.
Yeah.
Would that apply to the Cowboys, a team that needs a quarterback? I would look at this situation like it's right on
the
edge.
You're stirring it up, guy, right now is what you're doing.
Yeah, well, I am.
But
you know what?
Right now.
You're not wrong.
But it could
you're
be yes.
Wrong. Yeah.
See, 6 months from now.
This is the situation you absolutely could have been in if, in fact, that you did move on from Mike McCarthy and then move on from Dak Prescott.
Yeah.
Where you could be talking about a Jackson Dart or Shedeur Sanders or one of these quarterbacks right now, you know, and maybe, what should we look forward to?
Yeah.
You know, hey, if you're going to consider him without Dak, you might want to consider him with Dak. You know what I'm saying? I mean,
I think I would.
Yeah.
I think I'd consider that.
If you're going to be, I'll tell you what, if you're going to be a team, you're far away from really, you know, you're not going to be a New England Patriot 4-13 team.
Yeah.
But, you know, you're probably not going to be a very good team.
Well, they're clearly
especially
a team,
this division.
Yeah.
So why not go ahead and if in fact that something does happen with Dak and it's and I'm not saying injuries or maybe the play, maybe the level of play. You're 2 years into it now.
Yeah.
You know, you do what you have to do. You got your quarterback, and then you kind of move on and
hell, Mahomes sat.
Bill from there.
Have a contingency plan, and you got a fifth year option on him.
Yeah.
You know, I don't scout him like you do, Brian, but what I do know about Shedeur Sanders is he sees the field, he's accurate, he limits mistakes, he makes good decisions.
He's also tough as hell, and he sacrifices for his teammates,
I will say I can say I thought that Jackson Dart might be better than him. He's Jackson Dart's behind him. I mean, to me, Sanders is the second best quarterback in this draft, and you know, if you had an opportunity to draft him, I think you'd sure have to consider. I know it sounds crazy, but you know, these quarterbacks, they're so hard to find, and especially the really good ones. I think he's going to be a really good one.
Well, Kevin Walker, Texas producer, is telling me we got to go. Okay, we got to take a break here.
Oh.
It's the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan.
Our show's over?
Rangers lose opening day. I'm not sure what's going on here. Are we crossing with the Fan After Dark guys coming up next?
No, the show is not over. We'll talk to Jared on the other side.
Okay, we're gonna step aside. We're going to talk with Sands, and then we'll get to cross-talking with Fan After Dark. And we'll cram all the sports we can into these next 25 minutes here in the nation. All right, thank you, Kevin Walker, in for Lucius Alexander.
Doing a fine job.
G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. A lot going on here in the world of sports. Excited about the Mavs playing tonight and about Rangers opening day, getting the season started. We'll be back after tomorrow, 6:30 pregame, 7 o'clock first pitch. And Jack Leiter's going to be on the hill, Brian. This is fun.
It's exciting, man.
I think you got to go to the youth to get out of this pitching situation that they found themselves in. Okay? Let's get Gray and Bradford healthy.
Yeah.
Let's get Rocker as your closer.
Okay.
Okay, maybe Leiter can be your 7th or 8th inning guy. Let's get Teodo up here and Santos up here. I don't need to see these bums in the bullpen. Okay?
Yeah.
Chris Martin, Jesse Chavez, Luke Jackson, Robert Garcia.
I think you might see Martin next. Am I right about that?
Well, we saw Chris Martin today. I would like to see Chris Martin in the ninth.
That's what I was asking.
The problem was Garcia got in such a pickle. Martin throws strikes.
Exactly. That's what I was.
You had to put. You used the bullets there. So you get a great inning and a third from Martin, but the ones around him, we'll see.
Maybe Jack Leiter, closer guy, huh?
Isn't that a good idea, though, Wolchuk? You think use your young pitchers to fortify your bullpen when Gray and Bradford get healthy? I'm so just useful. Overreacting here tonight as Jared Sandler joins us now here in the G-Bag Nation. Sands, good evening. How the heck are you, buddy?
Guys, I'm great. Would have been better if the Rangers went 162-0 this year, but I guess we'll have to hope for like 160-2. Let's be realistic. They're probably going to lose one more game. So 160-2 seems...
It better just be one darn more, or else we're going to have to totally remake the ball club, Jared.
Jared, the turning point was very clear. It's a three-run bomb there. In the ninth inning. That one's tough. Bright spots today, though. Josh Young, Kevin Pillar, and Evaldi was good.
Yeah, Evaldi was really good. Nine strikeouts and used his curveball a lot. You know, we talked about that on the postgame show. That's sometimes just like a show-me pitch. Maybe, you know, he'll use it as a strike stealer, first pitch of an at-bat. But that was a finishing pitch for him today. And, you know, if he can get that pitch working from time to time and you know, that can be a weapon on a given start, you know, that adds another dimension. And, you know, it's a really good Red Sox team. I told Kevin and Corey before the game, I think the Red Sox are the best team in the AL East, and I think that these are the two best teams in the American League. Now, we'll see if it plays out that way. Obviously, got a lot of baseball to be played here, but that's a really tough lineup. And I thought of, Evo did a really nice job of navigating that. But unfortunately, the pinpoint came down to the ninth. I thought Trevor Story's nine-pitch walk was huge. Just, you know, you make a pitcher work, especially early on. You have him use some bullets, and then he obviously left a hanger to Abreu. And, you know, when the bullpen is, topic of conversation going into spring training and then opening day, you know, you lose a game, in the ninth inning like that, then, you know, understandably, that's going to be a topic of conversation that continues. And, hopefully the Rangers, if they play a close game tomorrow, are able to take care of business. But, that is going to be a topic of conversation early on until things settle.
Hey, Jared, five of the Red Sox six hits came from 6, 7, and 8 in the lineup. We had that one in the pregame show, right?
Yeah, that was definitely the preview of the bingo card, right?
Yeah.
Now Willier Abreu would have been a great, you know, I don't know what any of these daily fantasy projection people said, but Willier Abreu would have been a great play. I mean, he's been kicking the Rangers' ass since last year, and he did it today with two home runs. And the bottom of the order for Boston put pressure in, and it's tough because they're so athletic that even if the bottom of their order, you know, isn't just pulverizing the ball all over the yard, you saw with the way that they, you know, were aggressive on the bases, a walk, a single that turns into a double, and all of a sudden a double play is no longer a possibility, and you got a runner in scoring position. And the Rangers, for the most part, did a good job in those spots, you know, through the first 8 innings. But, that's a tough team to give bases to in the bottom of the order because of the firepower they have at the top, even if they did a good job of keeping that firepower at the top in check.
Jared, is running on the Rangers a pitching situation or a catching situation?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, Calvin Gashioka is a really good defensive catcher, but throwing has not necessarily always been like his biggest strength. Now, with that said, last year, Nathan Eovaldi had 13 guys try to steal against him, and all 13 were safe.
All of them got there, yeah.
So, you know, it's sometimes you see this with really good pitchers because they don't give up base runners and they're so good at just getting the hitter out that they're not forced to worry about it as much. But, especially when you play an athletic team like the Red Sox, it comes into play. And then Evo's next start's going to come against the Reds on Tuesday.
Really run.
And that's a really athletic team that, likes to run. So, I think it's probably a split pie, with that battery today. And it's something that until the Rangers show, like every year's a different year, but that was kind of a part of the book of the Rangers last year. You can run on these guys. And so there are going to be teams that are probably going to be aggressive minded early on. And they're going to have to show whether it's by throwing guys out or just doing a good job when the ball is in the pitcher's hand on the mound, varying times and making it difficult for those runners to get comfortable.
Offensively, do you think they just look back and think, darn it, we had our chance in the bottom of the second, and when we talked in the offseason, 2023, they were so good at putting up these explosive, crooked number innings, making the opposing team's bullpen come out. You knock the starter out early. You had three on, no outs, and Pillar gets the RBI single, but then after that, Higashioka, Smith, Simeon go down in order. But that seemed like the inning that could have had the reminiscence of 2023, and all of a sudden you're up 5-0 going into the third.
No, 100%. You know, I was sitting next to Elvis watching the game. And by the way, how good was Elvis on pre and post? He is, I mean,
outstanding work.
We knew he was good looking and had this great infectious personality, but I thought he was awesome. And we're sitting there talking, and it's, you know, on one hand, yeah, you're encouraged by, you know, getting to Garrett Crochet early, but we both kind of looked at each other like, you know, meat left on the bone there, a little Joseph Randall action. And, and you know, sometimes it doesn't come back to haunt you, but other times it does. And yeah, I think, you know, in retrospect today, it does. And the other thing, you brought it up, Zach, it's not just that they had base runners and only got one run. It's you know, the guys they had up, in those spots. And, you know, you felt good about the opportunity to maybe develop something, and it just wasn't in the cards. But, yeah, I think it's always easy to look at the ninth inning, and this is not to take anything away from the ninth. You know, that Gavin's right. That was the turning point. Obviously a 2-2 game, and the Rangers gave up a 3-run home run in the ninth, and that should be the lead. But what should be right behind that is, all right, what happened earlier in the game that tilted the scales a bit? And yeah, you know, I think that second inning was an opportunity to really deliver an early, not a knockout blow, but, you know, an early uppercut that, you know, gets some bleeding in the first round, and they just, they weren't quite able to land it.
I do like the look of Josh Smith at shortstop with Siegs DHing, but not as much as I like the look of Sandler in a suit, buddy. You going to do that every game?
Nope. My understanding is that is the only game we will be suited up all year. I'm okay with that.
Jacket, man. That thing had some red in it, too,
it
didn't
was hot.
It?
Yeah. A little blue and red.
Yeah.
I think Wolchek was hitting on me over text a second ago. Wolchek, that's cool. I you know, try something once.
Is that your Taylor buddy? Your Taylor buddy do that one for you?
Yeah, Don Sanders, Etiquette Don. You can hit him up on Twitter, a little payola here. You can arrest me if you need to. He's the man. good dude. And, he got it done, a little Rangers World Series lining. I had to break it out for the one game we're going to be suited up, but I think we'll be back to the quarter zips and polos starting tomorrow for the next 161. We're 0-1 in a suit. I mean, we got to change it up, and if we lose tomorrow, maybe we'll go shirtless.
Oh, I like that.
We have done that before.
Sounds good.
I know you have.
Hey, what are we getting from Jack Leiter tomorrow? What are we hoping we're getting?
If you told me right now if this was like a deal or no deal or behind door number one and two, whatever that show is, take your pick, or I don't remember what the show is called. Whatever.
Let's make a deal.
Let's make a deal. There you go. If you told me you could get, you know, five innings, three runs for his first start against the Red Sox, I'll take that. You know, I know that's not quote unquote a quality start and all that stuff, but I think, you know, I would take that. I just want to see him work efficiently.
There you go.
I want to look back after five innings, and I don't want to see 103 pitches. I want to see five innings and, you know, between 80 to 90 pitches, and I'll feel good about it. We're going to see the great stuff, right? But I need to see the efficiency so that, you know, we can get Jack going deep into games, especially given, you know, the fact that right now three of your five starters are guys who are going to be handled conservatively in DeGrom, Malley, and Kumar Rocker.
Great work on the simulcast, Jared. It's a hoot to watch you on TV and listen to you on the radio at the same time, man. Have a good one.
I appreciate it, fellas. Take care.
He's at Jared Sandler on Twitter. He'll join us as much as possible. I think he's shooting for the 440.
Yeah.
On game days.
There you go.
Most of the time. But once the pregame starts, he's going to be too busy to do it right before pregame as he has been for years. You know, you've been hearing Jared Sandler on 105 Through the Fan for what, 12 years? 11 years, something like that?
11, 12 years, yeah. You're absolutely right about that.
Incredible run.
Yeah.
We got to step aside. We'll cross with the Fan after dark, see what Fred and Blake have cooking with you next in the nation. But I want to chat about PermaPure Foundation Repair and why I love them. It's the only name I trust. Our number one investment, for most family guys anyway, is our home. And, you know, they give you peace of mind about your foundation. If you have any cracks in the walls or uneven floors or sticky doors, anything like that, your classic signs that maybe the foundation could be shifting in a way that could cost you, just call my friends at Permanent Pier Foundation Repair. They're the absolute best. They've been killing it for 30 plus years right here in DFW. They're so good at it that the pros in real estate and construction, home repair, all those different kind of industries, they call Permanent Pier. Companies around DFW that do foundation repair, a lot of them used to be PermaPier employees. Yeah, they have just been part of the fabric of foundation repair here in DFW in North Texas for decades, and you can see the signs everywhere, and you can see the people's trust in PermaPier. You can see it yourself. Have them out to the house. So if you do have any of those signs, don't ignore it, okay, because your foundation could be shifting and cracking, and if you only fix the cosmetic stuff, it'll cost you more money down the road. So call PermaPier, fully insured, A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau. When shift happens, go to permapier.com. PermaPier.com. Go with PermaPier. Welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation about to hand off the broadcast baton to the Fan After Dark. Look at this. Fred and Blake together.
It's us.
4 hours. Gentlemen, how are we doing? Is your mic on, Kevin?
There we go.
Yeah,
I'm on.
Go.
Mic on? We only got like a minute, so if my mic was off, the segment would be over. What are we doing on today's show? I got you, Kevin. I'm going to even save you time on that. 9 o'clock, we're going to continue to talk about the NBA, the standings, playoffs. Adam Silver talked the other day.
How tan is Fred?
What do you have to say about 9? We will be talking about that throughout the whole show. Of course, we'll talk Rangers as they fall today. Shout out Luke Jackson. And then the LeBron Stephen A saga continues, and what that is to come about with that.
Man, I love this LeBron Stephen A saga. Stephen A's throwing darts.
I'm just glad we're seeing the like human side of LeBron. I think everyone thought he's a robot and so media trained, and he's just kind of being a real raw human now, and people are either loving it or hating it.
Man, Fred just looks like he just woke up in the desert.
Yeah,
after drinking too much.
I haven't seen myself, so I don't know.
You look like Castaway, bro.
You got like a sunburn with your hair.
Right. No, it's a wild day, man.
You have a head on. It's a wild day. Like he's in a boxing match where he took a lot of punches.
Well, I got rained on like 3 times today, man. I mean, I was on, hell, I climbed 7 roofs today. I got rained on 3 different times. So, you know.
What an animal.
Somebody's got to do it, man. Somebody's got to do it.
Some people celebrate getting rained on.
Oh,
what?
Did you just say bleep? Almost. No? We almost did.
What? Somebody's got to do it.
No.
That's all I said.
I think you were segueing for something else.
Did he not say that?
I thought he was really close.
My ears are turned off. I don't even know.
A little bit of a
Kevin probably dumped it 7 times.
I said someone's got to do it. That's all I said.
Yeah, that's it.
Come on.
You saved yourself.
Come on, boys.
I love it if you did. Let me see what the text has.
We might have to go back and listen to that.
Any streamers?
That was pretty close.
We have to.
Well, here they come, the Fan After Dark with Fred and Blake. It's been an enchanted 40-minute show. I think that's an all-time low for the G-Bag Nation.
It's like a podcast.
A 40-minute show. We're back tomorrow with some amazing baseball talkers coming at you. David Murphy at 4 o'clock. Eric Nadel at 5:20. Wolchuk was telling me there's an athletic guest, a guest coming on to talk tournament with you.
Doctorman.
And, of course, we'll have a reaction to this Mavs game going on against the Magic and set your Dallas Stars weekend and everything. Thanks to Kevin Walker. They're filling in for Lucius Alexander. Wolchuk and Broadus. I'm Gavin Dawson. Until tomorrow at 2, you're going home with the Nation. At ease.